This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. And if you wonder hesitation there, sometimes Nev and I are never sure who's going to reset and do the intro. So, you know, if you get 1.5 seconds of dead air, it's my fault. Who have we got next?
We're very lucky to be joined by the wonderful Fliss Marlowe. We're going to be talking about the incredible campaign, Rainbow Community Angels. Welcome to Saturday Magazine.
Thanks for having me.
So we just had Austin from the Victorian Pride Lobby in the studio, and they were telling us a bit about the incredible challenges that we've had recently in our state with family-friendly events being targeted by very loud, by very hateful minority that are shutting down about 24 events over the last 6 months or so. Can you tell us a little bit about the response that has come together in Rainbow Community Angels and what you're doing to support these incredible events?
Yes, it is my pleasure to talk about Rainbow Community Angels. We are only about 6 weeks old, which seems like a lifetime, but it's also gone incredibly quickly. Look, our very basic aim at the beginning was seeing those cancellation after cancellation of drag story time across the state as the lead up to Idaho Hobbit Day on May 17. And a couple of us got together and chatted with both Sean from Rainbow Local Government and of course Dean, and said, look, we can't sit by and let our young queer and trans people see that the adults are not standing up for them, that we're just capitulating to a couple of emails and online threats, and that we're not saying we're going to make the world safer and keep you safe. So really it came from that quite personal, I guess, experience that a lot of us have had as younger LGBTIQ people. You know, I myself worked with a little group called EGG, Eltham Gay Group, 20 years ago with Ian Seal, and that was out in Eltham, and, you know, we were one of the 6 groups in the state at the time. And, you know, things changed so fast over the next 20 years, and the thing that we all thought about 6 weeks ago was, imagine if we went back 20 years. That's what it feels like. It feels like between cancellations, postponements, and even moving things online, we're eliminating, I guess, LGBTIQ young people and to some extent rainbow families from the public eye. And that just was not a tenable thing that we wanted to see. So that's the basis in which we came together, and that's the basis in which we've organised a couple of these pop-up drag story times and sent out the angels in response to attacks on local government events.
Bless these angels. And Austin mentioned that part of this campaign involves direct action training. Could you speak to that and how that's assisting in keeping these events safe and violence-free?
Look, when Claire and Sarah, Dean and Sean and I first had a chat, so 6 weeks ago, we really realised that if we were going to ask people to literally stand up to hate, put their bodies on the line, that we were asking a huge amount from these people and from ourselves, really. Like, it's not pleasant to put yourself in that situation, to have people yell at you with megaphones, to be there standing opposite people holding really foul placards and signs that say horrendous things about our communities and ourselves. So we thought, look, one of the things we can do to mitigate that risk is to make sure everyone feels confident and safe and in some sense, like, have some control over the fear that they were feeling. So I've been sort of a community activist and an advocate for about 30 years and have been on picket lines and all sorts of things and worked as a marshal and do legal observing with MALs. And so I reached out to some wonderful advocates from Workers Solidarity who do infrastructure support from at Trades Hall. So if you've ever been to, say, one of the big kind of city union rallies, or you've been to Invasion Day protests in the city each year, you'll notice that they're marshalled, or maybe you don't notice because they do it so well.
They do indeed.
To keep us safe. We don't even notice that they're there doing such a great job. So we reached out to them, and very kindly Giselle and Rowan from Worker Solidarity came and assisted us to run a few trainings to make sure that people knew how to hold a line. So, and how we all could, you know, move and walk in formation to make sure there were no gaps in the work, the shielding we wanted to do, and to make sure people felt confident to put their bodies on the line, which for a lot of queer and particularly trans people, this is asking a lot. So that's sort of the steps we took. And now we've finessed that training. It's pretty trauma informed. It's adult learning inspired. Like, we really draw on people's personal experience. And we remember and remind ourselves throughout the 2.5 hour training that this is a really difficult thing we're being asked to do. And we respect people's opportunity, you know, respect people's interests, but at any time you can step away, even in the middle of a deployment. Yeah.
Fliss, it's Macca here. We've actually a couple of questions from listeners. One here, mobile ending in 92. Is there a way to be in contact with the Rainbow Angels and the work you're doing without being on social media? I'd love to offer my support, but I don't do socials for many reasons. So if people want to get involved, want to support, how can they contact you without it being out there in the cesspit?
Yes, good question. We do have an ordinary old Gmail account, which is rainbowcommunityangels@gmail.com.
Great.
We're very happy for people to send emails there. But look, if you need to track Claire or I down, we work at Switchboard.
Okay.
That might make it a bit easier as well.
Cool. And there's one here, another from a listener. This ends, mobile ends in 5-3. Says, I appreciate drag queens were very much the public face of the controversy. But let's also remember library workers, many who had no say in their libraries, hosting events, took a massive hit and were bombarded with abuse. This is rarely recognised, and it's somewhat disappointing. I'm a gay library worker and saw the impact on my wonderful colleagues. Allies are valuable too. So asked us to, you know, remember those workers.
Absolutely.
And I agree. Can I ask Fliss? Is it time? It's time, isn't it, for the state government to step up with this vilification legislation to, you know, if you're not going to do it, get off the pot. They've got to do it. They've got to do it, don't they?
Look, I absolutely agree that these anti-vilification laws have been a ridiculously long time coming, and they've been boiling away for years and years.
It's been on the simmer. It's time to turn it up so it brings it to
them.
Yeah.
And you, like me, Macca, have been around a while, and I've sat on many a committee over the years where this has been brought up again and again, and it feels like they're dragging their feet. I absolutely agree. My concern is, even if we got it to this point, that it could be voted on and passed and put into turn it into an act, or turn it into whatever needs to be enacted as soon as possible, it'll take years for the education and implementation stage. And I don't know why we can't be doing that now. There's many police laws and other forms of anti-discrimination laws that we could perhaps be exploring to keep workers safe. Absolutely agree with that last caller. Like, we can, and also to look at, if you look at the 10-year plan, the Rainbow Ready map or whatever it was called that was launched last year at Pride, there's ample sections of that could be, that are recommendations for action and that are part of that strategy that could be used at this point in time to keep our communities safe.
Mm.
And it is unfathomable that we've got to a point that community are putting their lives and their bodies on the line to defend events that should be not need this. We should just be able to go and participate in our civic communities, go to the library, go to the pool, take our kids out to the park, take kids to youth events without this kind of vilification and hate. And there's enough around already to put things into action to make it safer and for the government to be responsive. But I do, and so do the Angels, absolutely agree that the vilification laws, anti-vilification laws, need to be hurried along and made as open and accessible, with a great education implementation plan alongside it, so that we are all safe.
And, you know, the federal government also needs to be visible in this. They're not reluctant to spend money on physical and infrastructure protection of other communities, right? About time you spent some on us, and our facilities and our communities. I know there's some discussions there. Show me the money. Right.
Mm, and the policies.
And the policies. And, you know, the state government, look, I know, and you know, Fliss, the state government are very aware of this. It's the time this is taking. And, you know, to be frank, it's not good enough. Right? I expect more. I expect more.
I think it was,
and I want more. I want more.
Yeah. I mean, it was disappointing to see the ALP federally roll back some of the policies and platforms to really improve the, and their support and for LGBTIQ plus Victorians, Australians, I should say. And I mean, I think the other issue that we need to touch on is that the rise of far right extremism is going to affect everybody
yes.
in lots of different yeah. ways.
Oh, yeah,
and we are the
We're at the front of the queue. And
we seem to be, exactly, when you look at the imported bigotry that's coming from the States and the UK, we're first off the shelf. And I think we really need to push the government to go, what are we going to do to stamp out far-right extremism? Why are these neo-Nazis being allowed to run around the streets? We know who they are. It's a small number of people over and over again who are calling these libraries, calling these councils, emailing, being foul in terms of what they're abusing people and accusing people of being. It's not like there's millions of people.
No, you only need one big bus to get them all in it.
or a small one, if you will.
And no, we're not. I was going to say something really bad then. There is a state conference of the Labor Party today. Perhaps you should go up there and have a chat to them, Fliss.
Is it in country Victoria? Because that's where I am today.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure.
Probably not.
No, they but look. I think they probably don't tell people where it is because they don't want demonstrators.
Look, one of the things I think that we cannot do is talk to our Minister for Equality, email her, send her a letter. You know, even call her electorate office and say, look, what are you doing? It's impacting me, my friend. It's impacting LGBTIQ young people. It's going to start having a huge impact on rainbow families and particularly trans young people once they really get into the nuts and bolts of gender reassignment surgery and how much hate they have for that. You just have to look at the states too. There's book bans in place. There's pronoun bans in place. There's don't say gay legislation happening. And this legislative creep from the states, yes, we have mainly Labor governments, and yes, it's unlikely that will occur in great numbers. But these people are going to want to run for local government. They're going to put up policies and run for state and federal government. And even though we know it's unlikely a huge mass would get elected, the fact that we have these kind of faux debates about our right to access a library or trans kids' right to access medical support or rainbow families' right to go and have a swim meet at the local at a local pool, as much as we can still do that, these people will continue to have debates that are damaging. They'll continue to say things online and to the media that are revolting. And I just really don't want our young LGBTIQ plus kids to have to go through with that kind of fear and shame and self-hate that so many of us did when we were growing up.
We're out of time, Fliss, but I also say to our listeners, don't just write to the minister. Write to whoever your local MP is, lower house or upper house. What matters, and we all know that this matters, is don't send a formula email, right? Write your own story. Tell your own story. It worked all those years ago in the same-sex relationships bill under the first term Brax government, right? It worked. Numbers are what matters. Our opponents don't have the numbers. We do. Let's use them.
Fliss, thank you for joining us on Saturday Magazine, and thank you and all the Angels for the incredible and hard work that you're doing protecting our communities.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. You are on SatMag, Joy 94.9, Macca and Nevena. Stay with us. We've got our next guest. We're going to talk about surrogacy rebates in Medicare. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.